At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? It's absolutely not bald Shawn Michaels here with the other dude with an attitude, Diesel, who is also not bald, definitely not bald in any way, shape, or form. Fightful post-show review for WWE Raw Halloween week, and we didn't get any Halloween shenanigans there, but by God, you're getting them here. Diesel, how you doing?
I'm doing good, honestly. I got to tell you, yesterday I was Joe Hendry and I was dying, Sean. I was dying with that wig. It was, my head felt like it was on fire. I just needed to scratch so bad. So I feel good today that I've got no wig and I can just be big sexy.
Wig couldn't be me. I would never need a wig in any situation ever. Not only that, I wish I was bald. I'm begging to be bald. Like, I would give anything.
Are you really?
Because I'm not bald. Because I'm not bald, and I just, for the love of God, I just wish I was. But unfortunately, that's not the way the cards fell for me. I've got so much hair that it's unbelievable. I'm not going to show it to you, but I've got a ton of hair. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Roll call. Send in your super chat. Send in your humper chats. We are headed to WWE Crown Jewel. I'll have Andrew Baydala on the post show with me this Saturday afternoon. We had the return of the Scoops thread on FightfulSelect.com. We had news on The Rock on FightfulSelect.com today. And we had a free post, some unfortunate news on FightfulSelect.com. And I want to jump right into that. Chris Bay, we want to send our love to him, his friends, his family, his coworkers, all that. He is going through a rough time right now, man. He sustained a very scary injury at the TNA tapings this Sunday. And I'm going to leave some details out. What I can share is that he underwent a pretty urgent surgery overnight, from what I understand, and was recovering. I haven't heard much beyond that, but we just want to wish the best. I mean, if you've been on social media today, you've seen a number of TNA wrestlers and just a number of wrestlers in general sharing some love for Chris Bay. Wonderful guy is Chris Bay, incredibly talented. Denise, this is obviously unfortunate.
Yeah. How did it happen?
I don't want to speculate on that. I haven't seen the footage, and they're not gonna probably put that out there. And I don't want anybody, don't want anybody pointing fingers, anything like that. But
Chris Bay. I was gonna say the fact that he had to have emergency neck surgery is like, usually so many times when we hear about like people getting their necks injured, it's not like they have the surgery right away. There's some time that goes that happens until the surgery happens. So the fact that he had to have it so fast, it's really, really scary. But I'm glad to hear that he's recovering. Chris Bay, I have known now for a couple of years because he was, out here doing the indies in LA when I would do like ring announcing stuff. And it's the nicest, kindest, coolest person you can meet. So this is very unfortunate, especially because if you follow Chris Bay, he's always like super motivational. And that's just like who he is. That's just who his personality is. So I really do hope that he feels, I'm sure he feels supportive with like everybody, but no, I'm wishing him the best, man, because Chris Bay, he works hard, man. He works hard, and
he's been
hustling the last several years. He's been hustling like nonstop on the indies, of course, in TNA and all of that. And he's very talented.
Had the good fortune to know him a little bit over the last 3 or 4 years, interviewed him several years ago. We had him on Fightful again last year, but man, incredibly talented. If you've heard me talk about he and Ace Austin, that duo, television stars, those two guys. They are so good. One of my favorite tag teams. And here's a little thing that a lot of people might not know unless they listen to an incredible number of Fightful shows. Chris Bay was a big part of TNA bridging the gap with New Japan, which did not exist before about 4 years ago. TNA was on the outs with New Japan. Harry Smith, Davey Boy Smith Jr., told me stories on camera about how even though regimes had changed over the years, New Japan had no interest dealing with TNA until about 3.5 years ago when they were running a tournament and they were like, hey, we want that Chris Bay guy in our tournament. And they hit up TNA. And when I spoke with Chris Bay about it, I was like, do you understand like the weight that is on your shoulders? Or the weight that's being put on you to repair this relationship that has not been a thing for over a decade. And he understood. And not only did he deliver, I mean, he was the perfect representative from a professional level, from an in-ring perspective, all that stuff. And of course, New Japan was very happy to continue working with TNA after that. But man, just a professional in and out of the ring. But yeah, sending our love to him. There is a GoFundMe that his girlfriend, Brittany Brooks, has posted on her Twitter. It has been retweeted a number of times. That's Brittany, Brittnie, Brooks. And there's a GoFundMe up there. Of course,
can you spell that out one more time? I'm looking for that.
Brittnie, Brooks. And we will definitely, any super chats, humper chats, that gets sent tonight, we will donate directly to that GoFundMe, and I will also match those personally. So if you want to get your super chats, humper chats in, and get your question or statement read on the air, that's what all of those will go to on this evening. I'll make sure that that becomes the case on the TNA post show as well this Thursday. But TNA did have their Bound for Glory show. Lots of fun on that program, but we got Crown Jewel coming up this week. We had WWE Raw, and it was a Raw that happened. It definitely existed. We had the Scoops thread on it. We revealed who the mystery opponent was going to be. But, Denise, I could have completely missed this show. Denise, you know the biggest thing that happened on this show?
What?
Okay. I can't say that. That wouldn't be genuine. The Bloodline stuff was interesting. To me, yes. But
okay.
To me, WWE officially announcing the MSG show for December 26 was important because my ass is going to be there for Christmas, and I wanted to go to it. And I'm sitting there like, did I work myself into a show?
What if they changed their mind?
I was going to go anyway. Regardless, I'm spending Christmas in New York, but damn, that was a reason why I wanted to go.
Damn, Sean, you're fancy.
What?
You're like, I'm spending Christmas in New York. Look at me. Ooh.
Oh, I'm spending Christmas in New York because we've lost several family members and we'd be depressed if we stayed home.
Why you gotta take it that direction, Sean?
Because you're being an asshole about it, Denise.
You make fun of me all the time. You make fun of me one time, and you take it so deep and so far.
You want me to sit at home and be depressed because my grandma died, and you want me to think about her all Christmas. That's okay. I get it.
Oh, my God.
I understand.
That's not what I was thinking, okay? Because you were like, oh, I'm gonna go to New York and on Christmas and it's so expensive.
No, you know what?
It was the way you said it, Sean.
It's okay. I'll just stay home. That's what I'll do.
Fine then. You know what? Stay home, Sean. That's it.
And about 2 p.m., I'll think about all the times I used to go visit my wonderful grandmother and won't be able to now. Well, I mean, I'll be able to, but if I go to her house, it'll be somebody else living there because she died, Denise.
Oh, my God. I was not thinking of that when I said that, Sean, but you had to take it so far just so that people wouldn't be like, oh, Sean's taking a fancy trip to New York. Next time, just say, yes, you know what, Denise? I am because I worked for it. Not be like, oh, well, because my relatives passed away. That's just, Sean.
Well, I should lie. No. I shouldn't say that's why I'm going because that's why I'm going.
Okay, well, it's not like I know that's why you're going.
Dang.
Anyways, well, now this is awkward.
That sure is a head scratcher. But
You know what? I'm never asking your plans ever again. Ever again. I'm never going to ask you how your anything was ever again.
Why?
Because you're going to be like, oh,
what are you going to do? Will some more of my relatives into dying? Is that what you're going to do?
What are you doing?
I'm just explaining what happened.
Terrible, Sean. Stop talking.
Don't be such a drama queen, Denise. It's
me? Ridiculous. The drama queen? Me. Okay, S-M-H. Whatever.
SMH. So, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 a month in the business, $54 a year. I'll run down very quickly what we have had up there. We had a whole bunch of stuff on WWE music. And in addition to the Def Rebel and Jim Johnston and CFO stuff that we found out, we learned that Mikey Ruckus had a new agreement to remain with AEW. We had a bunch of news on The Rock, his Bad Blood appearance, a lot of WrestleMania related stuff as well. NXT scoops all week, an MLW signing, details on AEW Shockwave, the Carlito line that got discussed last week, Samantha Irvin, TNA Bound for Glory stuff. But let me tell you guys, we're going to have some really good stuff over the next couple of weeks. Some contract news that you guys have been asking about an awful lot. Some details on Netflix, whole bunch of stuff. But I dropped my Fightful Report podcast this morning, about an hour long. It's got all of our exclusive news for the week and then about 40 to 45 minutes of a Q&A. Well worth it. FightfulSelect.com. Plus, you get access to our Discord, preview shows, additional reviews, all that stuff. But my God, we're here to talk about WWE Raw. Kim Gray says for Chris Bay, hey, SRS and Denise, catching a live for the first time in forever. Can you all give my son Bo a shout out? His son or his school marching band competes for a state championship this weekend. Well, good luck, Bo. Good friend of the show, Bo. Kim, great to see you here. Listen, I don't know what instrument your son plays. I hope he plays drums because I want him to go up and like start banging on his opponent's drums like Nick Cannon in Drumline. But here's the big twist, Denise. He can't read music.
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore, Sean. I'm just
you are so uncultured. You are so uncultured.
I'm just gonna let you ramble. I don't even care.
You ever watch Drumline?
No, I have not watched Drumline. Okay.
It's practically the same movie as Joe Dirt. Grapple Geekery says, Bay is Bay. Sending all the positive waves I can send his way. Throw up your two sweets in the comment for Chris Bay. Wonderful fella. Wonderful fella, that guy. CC Bonbon, there is absolutely zero chance that I read your super chat. I'm sorry. You wasted your money. Don't send stuff like that, please. Meet Normus says, I was 10 rows from the goal line for Commander's Hail Mary. Been dancing like Nana ever since. Let's crank. Tonight felt like Triple H punted. It certainly did feel like WWE punted. Like they've got a whole bunch of double tapings. They've got Saudi Arabia trip to go to. This felt like WWE just said, eh, whatever. But Denise, did you see that Washington Commander's Hail Mary?
I did see that, actually. I saw the clip last night, yeah.
Did you see the defensive back that was jawing at the Commanders fans? He was over by the sidelines while the play was still going on, talking that trash. They had to point at him and say, the play started, bro. He gets there late, slaps the ball, and then it goes into his assignment's hands. Oh, rough. Rough, man, but I'm a Bengals fan, so it's bad. But listen, it could be worse. I could be.
What are you gonna say? What are you gonna say? I knew you were gonna say that. It's not going so good right now. Okay, I understand. Oh, it's not going so well. Hey, it started better than it did for the Bengals, though. Shit!
Wow, I
3 weeks without a win.
I just got a message from my lovely wife, who said it's really nice to know that Denise wants me to sit around on Christmas and ponder on my dead dad. And she put in all caps.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. My gosh. Now I see how this happened. Y'all are wilding. We want to sit here and talk about dead relatives? Really? You want me to bring down a list here? But no, I'm not going to really do that.
Because I'm sensitive to your family and their needs, Denise.
Yeah, but if you're like, hey, Denise, you're going to go on vacation? I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go on vacation. Why? Because of your dead relative? I'm not going to tell you that.
No, we're celebrating Day of the Dead this weekend. So we got plenty to celebrate, Denise, in case you didn't know.
Stop talking about it, Sean.
In case you didn't know.
You have a terrible, terrible, terrible sense of humor.
Forever Young Zosa's prayers for Young Bay. I was there last night. Scariest moment I've seen live. Sorry, I wasn't trying to laugh through that. It says, had to delete it from my Snapchat story as soon as I watched it back. Man, sorry that you saw that. That's unfortunate. And man, Chris is such a talent. And not only that, a wonderful guy and a pro, as is his tag team partner, Ace Austin, as well. I'm sure that's, you know, everybody in TNA is having a tough time with this. It's rough. But let's get into WWE Monday Night Raw. Man, Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser. We'll start with that. Listen, good match. Cool. Happy
Ludwig
with it.
Kaiser should have won.
Yeah, I agree. Because, listen, I am all aboard the Ludwig Kaiser train. And Sheamus very clearly still has a lot in the tank. Like, that guy very clearly still has it. And I look at Sheamus a lot of how I looked at a lot of other wrestlers that, like, I just feel, like, privileged that we get this amount of time. Because there was a point where it looked like he was going to wrap it up. People in WWE said that they thought they would be fortunate if they got one more WrestleMania out of him. And that was like 5 years ago. So, I mean, to be able to see him put on matches like this and still be out there doing it, it makes me very happy, because also absolute pro. But Ludwig Kaiser is the type of guy that I think they should be building up right now. They should be building him up and then have him ready, I think, for when Gunther loses the title. And I think that should be the first guy that Gunther blames. Whenever Gunther loses the title, I think his first feud should be with Ludwig Kaiser, because he turns around and blames Kaiser. And then I think Kaiser should beat him as well. That's how good I think he is. Not mad over this or anything, but hell of a match. But yeah, I feel like they should be developing him.
That's what I was thinking about when I was watching this, was how Ludwig Kaiser has sort of been just, you know, he's been in the shadows of Gunther, right? But he's managed to break out here and there, but then he goes back and he's back in the shadows once again. Ludwig Kaiser is somebody that I see as, I think he's a great heel. I really think he has just the look where you just get, like, you just look at him and you're like, I hate that guy. Because he just has that, like, picture-perfect jawline and everything about him is so perfect. You're like, I hate you for it. But I think Ludwig Kaiser is really good with that. But here's the thing, though. They haven't moved anywhere beyond that with Ludwig Kaiser. I was thinking about this during the watch-along, how, like, Sheamus didn't need this win. Sheamus has been at the top. I want to see Ludwig Kaiser start to get some big wins, start to move forward with that whole story. I want to see him start making his way and building himself up so that when Gunther is looking for a challenger, because we know that Ludwig Kaiser-Gunther story is feud is about to come through at some point. And I want to get there. And I think that you have to build up Ludwig Kaiser. So, yeah, it's exactly how I felt about this, too. Love Sheamus. Decent match. But I think it was Kaiser's to win.
We also saw Ivy Nile defeating Zelina. It is so funny to see Ivy Nile tower over somebody, Denise. That is not something that I'm quite used to.
Zelina Vega is the only person that I'm taller than. I look like Andre the Giant next to her. Like, she makes me look like a giant, and I don't look like a giant next to anybody. Zelina is very, very tiny. Ivy Nile, I think she's definitely at least like 1 or 2 inches taller than me. So yeah, she's also tall too, but not, you know, taller than Zelina. But yeah, no, this match here, I was sort of thinking the same thing, but it was more so in regards to Ivy Nile, right? Because Ivy Nile is someone that, she doesn't wrestle very often on the show. We don't very often see her have these one-on-one matches. She has them far and few in between. When she does, I feel like she comes out looking impressive. I think with this match, given that Zelina Vega, it seemed to always put in that position where she's there to give somebody else a win. That's the same position that they always put Zelina Vega in, and that's what they had her do here. This was just a match that happened, but it was just really to give Ivy Nile this victory, which I do think she needed, because she's a part of this group that we are seeing on a weekly basis. But of course, most of the attention is on Julius and Brutus and Chad, but she is part of the group. So you do want to see her get a little something every week, but she doesn't. So at least this week was something for her.
We also saw a Rhea Ripley vignette. Also, yeah, I mean, listen, Zelina, I've mentioned this before. Originally, they didn't plan for her to wrestle back when her first run happened, and she insisted on it. And I feel like she's delivered. I think that she's done very well in that spot. And Ivy, I've just been waiting for her to get opportunities, and I want to see it happen. They, as badly as I said that they should develop some people like Ludwig Kaiser, they really need to develop women's singles talent. Like, really. Because they've been riding the same Rhea Ripley Liv thing for, gosh, it feels like forever. Even through the injury, they were just building up to that and doing patchwork until that happened. And
they had Zelina losing to Liv Morgan just so she can get some wins because they needed someone to sacrifice. Yeah.
They had Piper just dropping matches after losing a bunch to Bayley. I think you need stuff like what they were doing. You need undercard feuds like Mia Yim or Mishen and Chelsea Green that are fun to watch, and you do some stuff like that. I think that it would be very, very important. Chris Moore says prayers for Bay. How is Vikingo? Any word on him? He said he's going to be fine. He said he's going to be fine. We don't necessarily have a lot of details on that. We did see a Rhea Ripley vignette. I love how they utilize these vignettes, because when someone isn't heavily featured on the show or anything like that, this gets their face on the show. I always prefer it to the promo where somebody walks out, has their entrance hit, they grab a microphone, they bitch about another adult in front of a paying audience. It's hard to connect with that, but with a vignette, it's short, to the point. You see the person on the screen. I love these.
They don't do them that often with Rhea Ripley either, so I thought that this was a little different, just again, because they don't do them that often with her. They've had Rhea do a lot of in-ring promos, so I feel like, yeah, it was fine to shake it up for this week. So, I mean, there really wasn't much to say other than I did like the closing line that she had at the end, where she basically said that she would literally have, Liv Morgan would literally have to kill her for her to keep her down, and she wants her title back. Plain and simple. Cool. We've known this for a while, because it's only so much you can say. They sort of do the same thing over and over every week now, where it's like Rhea will get her hands on for like a quick second on Liv Morgan. Dominic Mysterio will come in and help save the day, but then she'll get her hands on Dominic. But then afterwards, the rest of the Judgment Day comes in, or some help with Liv and Dom. Like, I think for the most part, they've played that scene over and over again. And even today in the closing of the show, we kind of saw the exact same thing with Judgment Day coming in, interfering. It sort of seems like they're running back over and over a lot of the same things. With the Judgment Day, I can't wait for Rhea to kind of wrap this up with Liv Morgan and move on to some other things. And I say the same thing for Damian Priest, because at the end of today's show, which I know we'll talk about more in a second, I was thinking, okay, I'm ready for Damian Priest to move on. I think a lot of things right now with the Judgment Day, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on for Rhea, ready to move on for Damian Priest, and I'm ready to get those tag team titles off of them as well.
Something you will want to see over and over again, the NordVPN.com/Fightful Deal. Big savings and 4 months extra for free with the Black Friday exclusive deal. I had somebody on our Q&A today say, can you give us a quick tutorial of how to work NordVPN.com/Fightful for some of the things you mentioned? Well, one that I actually learned from Denise. Denise taught me how to do it. If you don't want to pay for an NFL Sunday ticket, you get NordVPN.com/Fightful, and I am in Kentucky. If I want to watch an LA Chargers game, I change my virtual location to LA, and you can watch those games in that market. Then you can switch to the Denver market to watch the Broncos game. You could switch to the Carolina market to watch the Panthers game. Don't know why you'd want to do that, but you can with NordVPN.com/Fightful. With wrestling content, you know, there's going to be territories where all the WWE content goes up onto one service. You get that service here in the States, you change your virtual location, you'll have access to that as if you were in that location and get access to all that content. Pay-per-views, they're a lot cheaper overseas because usually they're happening in the wee hours of the morning. You can change your virtual location to that place and get them at that price. This service effectively pays for itself. And if you have any questions on how to use it, they've got 24/7 tech support. That's one of so many features. Just go to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check it all out. From Threat Protection Pro, they got the encryption. It's the fastest VPN on the planet. And they got a 30-day money-back guarantee. By all means, Check it out. NordVPN.com. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west. /Fightful. We get the recap of Miz and Final Testament last week. I like that Miz was trying to just like throw his hands up and be like, I don't have anything to do with this. Not the Wyatts, not the Final Testament. And Final Testament was basically, and Karrion Kross was like, there are two ways you go through this. It's through the Wyatts or it's through us. And right now we're looking at you. So Miz was like, this is the immediate threat. So better handle that. And R-Truth was like, damn, you made the Wyatts mad. Well, you're going to die. That's what's going to happen. Like, Sean's going to be going to MSG because he feels bad about what the Wyatts are going to do to you. And Denise is going to be very insensitive about it. But what? Rolled your eyes.
Yes. Miss Insensitive over here. You look good. Yeah. Denise Insensitive. I don't care. You're saying I'm insensitive. Now I'm going to run with it.
Day Day says SRS, the cowboy of NordVPN. Well, yeehaw. Listen, I love NordVPN. I've used them for years at this point. The only VPN I've used. But I like the R-Truth stuff. I was entertained by all this. And also, R-Truth meets up with Alpha Academy, laid out the Miz, and then he called Pete Dunne Butch, and he said, hey, Butch, have you seen Pete?
All right, man. So with this, I feel it's funny because I was, when the Miz approached R-Truth and he started saying how, like, he was, you know, I don't know, trying to be his friend again. They were, like, trying to be on good terms. I thought that R-Truth was going to fall for it. I really, really did. I think the fact that he, like, sucker punched him was actually a breath of fresh air because I didn't want to see, you know, airheady R-Truth fall for it. I thought him being like, nope, I'm not going to trust you. Here, I'm punching you. That's it. I'm taking you out. I thought that was actually funnier than him playing the airhead role and had he bought what the Miz was trying to sell him. So the fact that he like went for it, I thought that was good. And then the confrontation with the Miz and Karrion Kross, I did like the line where Karrion Kross had told him, if you don't get this message out to Bo, I am going to take your legs off. And I thought, okay, good. That's a very, very gruesome, gory thing to say to someone. I'm going to take your legs off. And I feel like for the most part, Final Testament, they've been trying to be like this creepy faction. And so far, there's been nothing creepy about it. And then him saying that one line about taking his legs off, I was like, all right, that's kind of creepy. I can buy that. So I did like that little portion of it also. This was surprisingly not as bad as I thought it was going to be on those both segments that we saw, both segments.
So an update on a story we had ran. We had posted on Fightful Select that TNA had inquired about AJ Styles going into the Hall of Fame, but it was passed on. And we had noted it was from WWE. AJ Styles has clarified it was him. He said that he didn't want to go in while he was an active competitor. It is something TNA wanted to make happen. They couldn't make it happen, but glad AJ Styles cleared that one up. But man, I feel like TNA would have wanted him to wrestle ideally, and that's clearly not.
I thought he was. I really thought he was because
it seemed like a perfect opportunity. Yeah.
Right. With this TNA WWE partnership, I would say that WWE has sort of been like, you know, being the one calling all of the shots, which clearly we knew that was going to happen. But I mean, come on, like they're getting Jordan whenever they want. They're getting Joe Hendry whenever they want. It seems like whenever they want something, they get it. And it doesn't feel like it works the same way with TNA, which obviously I think we all kind of expected
that.
Let's be real. Let's be real. We know who wears the pants in the relationship. But I think sometimes you do have to throw a bone to the other person. And when I first saw that whole thing about them not wanting to let AJ Styles be in
Hold on. I want to clarify that because that got misrepresented a lot. I see graphics and everything. In fact, the one that he quote tweeted said, WWE declined TNA's request. I was never told there was a request. I was told they inquired about it and that WWE had passed on it. And that was TNA sources indicating that one. So like there was a lot of misrepresentation going on there. Regarding that situation. But we absolutely did say WWE had passed on it. AJ Styles corrected that and said that that it was his decision, which I heard from somebody in WWE today that had clarified that as well. But it's like there were so many people that wanted to jump on it, like, oh, WWE outright rejected. I was like, well, no, I didn't give any reason as to why that was. I just told that TNA was interested in it and that WWE had passed on it. So that was clarified. AJ actually passed on it, and I completely get his reasoning. He doesn't want to while he's an active competitor, and I, you know, if that's how he views it, and a lot of people do, I don't blame him at all. Don't blame him at all.
Right, so I do get his reasoning for that because I feel like, I don't know, it's weird, right? Because, I mean, clearly, if you're an active wrestler, you wouldn't want to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, right? If you're still an active wrestler. But that's different. This is the TNA. This is for TNA. And I feel like we all know that his career, for the most part, there is sort of done with. And because of, like, everything he had done, I don't know. I guess you would see it a little differently where it would be, like, okay to accept that Hall of Fame offer from them at this point in his career. If it was the WWE Hall of Fame, then obviously that would be an entirely different scenario. So I thought that whole thing, well, originally, like I told you, when I had seen it at first, I thought, oh, that's kind of weird that that would happen. But once the clarification came in from AJ Styles, then that clearly made a lot more sense. But anyways, yeah, I don't even know where I was getting at with this anymore, but there you go. Sean, you're muted.
My bad. I had to cough. Terry Allen Jr. says comfortable link for Raw at Netflix is 2 hours and 30 minutes. I mean, yeah, they seem to like stuff an awful lot in. They stuffed an awful lot in without doing a whole lot on some of the 2 hour Raws. But we are seeing like some of the in ring and some of the people that we would see every week maybe aren't getting featured as much on 2 hours, but that's going to happen. That's going to happen. We got the top contender match. War Raiders defeated New Day and LWO thanks to Gable laying out Ray. I think that the LWO and what are they? American Made. I like that idea for a feud. It seems like it's going to be geared more towards Gable and Rey Mysterio, which I'm not necessarily opposed to or anything like that, because you can work the LWO in there as well, but I really want to see Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee continue. This match was a lot of fun. They got a ton of time. They treated it like this mattered, and the War Raiders immediately getting pushed like they are who they are who they were when WWE signed them, which I think is important to do. You have the opportunity to reintroduce them, and I think they've done very well so far.
This was probably the best match of the night for sure. I think followed closely by the Ludwig Sheamus match. But I think for the most part, it was this one because what you got here was just all of these guys like coming in here, hitting their spots. Everybody got a time to shine in this match. And I thought that was the best part. I think for the most part, everyone was expecting the War Raiders to get this victory here and become the new number one contenders. I think it was very clear given that the New Day is, you know, going through this downward spiral. We're waiting for them to, you know, for Xavier Woods at some point to officially turn on Kofi. That's the prediction there. As for LWO, unfortunately, like, bro, they never be giving the LWO any, like, big wins like this. So I'm at the point where I'm like, all right, I think it's very clear. Process of elimination tells us that the War Raiders were going to win. But I also am happy for the War Raiders here because, you know, they've gone through it. They really have gone through it. They've gone through a period where the tag team essentially became completely uninteresting. Then the injuries. And then finally, you know, they're back once again. They got the cool name once again. So this is definitely time for them to remake their, retell their story here in WWE. So I think that the War Raiders, I hate to say it, but I'm already presuming that they are going to win the tag team titles. If they're not, I'm going to be hella bummed out because I'm done with the Judgment Day as champions. I forget every week the Judgment Day are champions. So I'm ready for the War Raiders to become tag team champions. I'm good with it. Let's go.
This match I thought was just very good. The crowd was into it as well, which I think is very important for the future of this tag team division and people caring about it. Because oftentimes, man, it's just like the tag titles are forgotten about on Raw. They're barely defended. They had to do this to determine contenders after not being defended for so long. But I thought this was a very promising outlook for the direction of the tag team division. I think that it is important. We also had the Wyatt Six laying out the Miz in the parking lot on Raw Talk. We're told Luis is actually typing us specifically. Loomis and others laid him out, so they're continuing that as well. Day-Day says, is Ray the only WWE Hall of Famer still wrestling? Adam Copeland and Bully Ray are as well. Among, I don't know if anybody else is, but those two definitely are. Announced for Raw Talk, on Raw Talk of all things, by the way, Dragon Lee versus Chad Gable. Well, we had Seth Rollins kicking off this show, and it immediately goes into him and Bronson Reed whipping each other's ass. And this is a story that I have long begged for. Peter Griffin versus the Chicken. I asked Bronson Reed in our interview that dropped today, go check it out, are you Peter Griffin or the Chicken? And he said, I'm Peter Griffin. Peter Griffin always wins, by God. So he knew immediately. He got the reference. He understands the similarities. He's looking to be Peter Griffin. Seth Rollins, I feel like he could dress like a chicken at some point. But let me tell you, the part beyond their great brawl, beyond Adam Pearce, which we'll get to, the thing that popped me the most, not the Death Valley driver off the semi, it's Seth Rollins aggressively taking off his blue jacket to reveal the exact same blue jacket underneath it, Denise. He had the same exact one.
No wonder he was looking poofy, like puffy. By the way, that idea, if Seth Rollins hears you say that, he's going to come out dressed like a chicken at some point, like a modern version of a chicken. Whatever that looks like, that's exactly what we're going to get. No, this was great, man. I'm telling you, this was probably the thing I was most looking forward to on Raw. Mainly because I've been really into the storyline with Seth and with Bronson. It's kind of like the thing where I was really waiting for Bronson to just like blow off and become like somebody, you know, big on the show, not just big Bronson Breed, but legit big on the show. Coming off of the Braun Strowman feud, I thought that that was great. So now going into this with Seth Rollins, this is going to be his hopefully star-making performance. And this was cool. I thought that they really showed a lot of creativity in the way that they set up the whole entire parking lot brawl with the truck. And not just, you know, the truck from the outside. No, open the doors. We go inside. We actually get to see some of that. The curb stomp, too, on the freaking car. That was great because I actually thought that we were just going to see a tsunami splash onto that car. So I was thinking a little bit more basic. I think the fact that they surprised us there with that curb stomp from Seth Rollins was really great. So I don't know what to say about this other than they really have been keeping this story there's been sparks in this, you know, it hasn't felt lame. It hasn't felt boring. I'm interested. I really want to see Bronson Reed defeat Seth Rollins at Crown Jewel. Like I'm so, so wanting to see that. That's exactly what I think needs to happen only because I want to keep seeing Bronson Reed sort of be this like crazy, unbeatable monster. And that's what I'm buying into.
He's killing this role. My God, man. Seth is doing phenomenally in this spot as well. Like, they're both just doing a great job building this feud and making me want to see them fight. Now, do you think they're removing this match from Crown Jewel?
Dude, I had a feeling, but I really hope not. Here's the thing. When he said, oh, yeah, he's going to a medical center or whatever because of his back and his back pain, I thought, you better not be removing this match from Crown Jewel. But then I thought, because that was my first thought, but then I thought, no, they're planting the seeds. They're planting the seeds so that when Bronson Reed does defeat Seth Rollins, they can go and say, well, Seth Rollins wasn't 100%. The tale is old as time. So I feel like I'm hoping it's the latter option that they're running with instead of actually taking this match out of Crown Jewel. Because I'm looking forward to this match at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, and it's like Triple H was like, six matches? Whoa, hold on there, buddy. We can't be doing all that. We can't. Six matches? There's no way. So, yeah. I'll tell you what Triple H did, Denise.
What'd he do?
He shaved one off.
Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. They have a monopoly on the bathroom. Let's be real, when they start selling wipes, it's over for everybody. What don't they have at Manscaped? It starts off, you know, with your body parts, your balls and your butt, but it's a lot more than that. They got everything in the bathroom, from the shower with body wash and shampoo and body buffers, to the beard. They have a phenomenal beard trimmer. They have beard combs, beard oil, beard conditioner, all that good stuff. And for your nether regions as well. They have a variety of packages that you can try out, from ones that go from the bathroom to your body to your hair. It doesn't really matter. They've got you covered. They've got a little something for everybody. If you're on the go, they have the go bag as well. They've got travel options. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. You're always going to find a great deal when you use that code at Manscaped.
Check it out, guys. Manscaped. Reminder, get those super chats, get those humper chats in. Dominic's backstage with Judgment Day, and they pretty quickly reveal who the mystery opponent is going to be. It's Damian Priest. Literally the most obvious option possible, and not just because
they were going to surprise us, Sean. I thought they were going to surprise us with someone random.
Denise, there was a reader that completely talked me into it being Goldberg, and I was like, that's a perfect idea. Goldberg comes back, he beats Dominic very quickly. Dominic, you know, faces his former world champion. There's that, and you could set up Goldberg doing something in the future or whatever. That'd be fine. He had a match with Damian Priest. Judgment Day all got involved, and Damian Priest won because the numbers game overcomes it. But Damian Priest whoops that ass afterwards. He gave a special beat down to Carlito. Carlito really got it. But he stands tall. Now, this used to happen all the time in WWE. Like, every week you'd see guy gets pinned with a quick roll up, so the person that pinned him doesn't really get over that much. It was by interference, and then the other person leaves them laying. At least this, it makes sense, because of course Damian Priest could beat Dominic straight up, but again, numbers get to him. He lays them out once he gets the opportunity. I don't know where exactly this is going, because I was really hoping that Damian Priest was done with Judgment Day. I was ready for him to move on, as he had outlined. How are you feeling about this?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking after this. And I had said this earlier, where I'm ready for... I thought the same thing. I thought we were kind of over and done with, but I feel like if you were intertwined with the Judgment Day, you're forever intertwined with the Judgment Day. And that's kind of what it feels like. So when they said Damian Priest was the person, I was kind of like, oh man, it really was the most obvious answer. Like I said, I don't think I necessarily wanted it to be the obvious answer, because I didn't really feel like we needed this. We don't need to continue seeing this stuff with Damian Priest and the Judgment Day. It felt like it was over and done with after that Finn Balor match in Bad Blood. But hey, that's where we're at. So it is what it is. The match itself was not great. It was just there. I can't even tell you one impactful thing that happened in it. I can't even remember. All I remember is what happened after the match. And oh, and the Judgment Day essentially coming out to help out Dominic Mysterio. Them helping out Dominic Mysterio, Damian Priest trying to get his heat back, Raquel holding back Liv Morgan as Damian Priest freaking hits the choke slam on both Carlito and Dominic Mysterio multiple times. That's all. That's all I remember. That's it. I can't remember anything from the actual match whatsoever because I didn't think there was anything necessarily noteworthy, which tells me we need to not see no more of Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest here. Like, that's got to end. That's got to end. Tag titles got to get off of the Judgment Day. And once Rhea Ripley gets her title back from Liv Morgan, I want to see her go and face some other badass women. I don't know who, because they haven't been building up too many contenders, but I hope they start. And I want to see Rhea Ripley work with those people now. I think I'm good. I think I've gotten all that I want to out of the Judgment Day stuff.
So not to change the subject, but TNA has provided me an update on the medical situation involving Chris Bay and Vikingo, actually. So I'm going to read that directly from TNA. It says, Chris Bay is recovering at the hospital following surgery for the neck injury suffered Sunday night and had an MRI procedure on Monday. He was resting in the hospital room Monday night, joking, talking about Bound for Glory and in good spirits. Chris will be in Detroit for a few days and family members have joined him along with TNA management and wrestlers who are staying in Detroit. Chris is under professional care and supervision, and the local medical staff has been in contact with his personal doctor. Vikingo returned to the Detroit hotel Sunday night after being treated at the hospital for a right knee injury. He's on crutches and wearing a leg brace. Vikingo flew home to Mexico on Monday, where he will be examined and treated by his specialist. TNA Wrestling thanks everyone for their continued thoughts and prayers. We will update when additional updates are known. Please respect the privacy of Chris Bay and Vikingo and their families during this difficult time. Got a lot of respect for TNA providing this because obviously this situation, and we knew the Chris Bay injury was going to be a lot more serious than the Vikingo one, but there were naturally a lot of questions. And the way that I've always looked at it is we're not entitled to that information. If they want to provide that, and that was provided today to me as well, the fact that he had surgery. But a lot of respect to TNA for updating this, because when all we see are prayers for so-and-so, I'll give you an example. When Rikishi was out there putting prayers for Jimmy Uso, I had so many people saying, oh my God, is he okay? And again, we're not entitled to that info, but it does cause some concern. And there were a lot of people that are understandably concerned about Chris Bay and his condition. It is so wonderful to hear that he is joking and talking about the shows and all that stuff. Just wonderful news that he is in good spirits, and we're sending our best to Chris Bay, of course. Man. Sophie says, I think it should have been Rhea, but at least Carlito took a beating. Yeah, did we see Rhea in person at all in this show?
No, she was just in the vignette.
There.
Yeah,
she probably wasn't there then. Yet. Oh, man. So what I think is the most momentous thing on this show, we got Jey Uso, and he's confronted by Jimmy Uso. And we're seeing Jimmy feeling, you know, pretty confident about Jey now that Jey and he have sort of reunited. But Jey goes, we are not anybody's lackeys. We are not anybody's sideshow. Nobody is our chief. Nobody, we don't acknowledge anybody, any of that. I'm glad, like, Jey is showing blood is thicker than water, but he's like, it's not thicker than my own pride. And I feel like that is important. Before we get to what happened backstage, how'd you feel about that, that promo?
So I was originally thinking that they were going to draw out the Jimmy Jey reconciliation. I thought that was going to be drawn out for weeks, right? But on SmackDown, when they both came out and they hugged and they had the big moment, I'm like, oh, okay, they're taking out like weeks of content, right? Okay, great, whatever. Then this week, then today on Raw, the way that Jimmy approached it, he was approaching it as a guy that, okay, we just hugged, so clearly everything's on good terms. Jay was kind of going back and forth. I had like mixed feelings about his promo because there were seconds where I'm thinking, oh, he's still mad at Jimmy, even though they had the hug. But then he wasn't. And then he was. And it kind of felt like we went back and forth. And at the end, I guess everything's fine for the most part. But I kind of thought that that little back and forth tripped me out just a little bit because I'm like, all right, bro, like you guys already hugged it out. So that's it. Everything's okay now. Like, that's it. I did, and I'll get to this once we talk about it, but I did not like Sami Zayn's promo today backstage.
Okay, why not?
Well, I did not like that Sami was essentially telling, and I get what Sami was trying to do. Don't get me wrong. I get what his intentions were, right? But I felt like the way that it was written, it kind of contradicted a lot of what's already happened because he was basically telling Jay, this has nothing to do with you. You don't have to be part of this. Wrong. He does have to be part of it after the bloodline essentially cost him his Intercontinental Championship. So that was one part. And then there was another part. I forgot what it was that Sami said, but I also kind of felt like that did not make too much sense. I'm trying to remember what that other part was, but maybe it'll come to me in just a second. But there was two things for sure. And one of them was the first one that I mentioned that I kind of felt didn't really make too much sense here. I did like, though, that in the end that they made Jay essentially telling him like, oh, you're not part of this family, so you wouldn't even know. I did like that part because it, one thing that they're really good at is always getting people to feel a lot of sympathy for Sami Zayn, and you're going to feel sympathy when you tell him like, oh, hey, you're not even part of this family, even though he was an honorary Oos.
Yeah. Well, that's what unfolded backstage. Sami is talking to Jay and saying, you've proven to me that you're a good dude, but why are you going back to the guy that gaslit you and treated you, beat you down for years, held you back for years? Not only that, the guy that held you back for years as well. But then Jay is like, no, Jimmy, maybe you should go talk to him. And Jimmy offers to do it. He's like, I'll make it good with him. Because Jimmy originally was like, you're right, he's not family. And Jay goes, you don't even understand either. You went along with this stuff for way longer. You went back to it when you didn't need to. But Jimmy offers to go talk to Sami, but by the time they find Sami, he's out there talking to Solo Sikoa, which I think is a nice little twist. He ain't going the Solo Sikoa route, although largely Solo would just kind of stay out of his way. But Solo did a lot of Roman's bidding for him. Like he did a lot of the actual action that happened. And I don't know. This is one of those stories that is fairly predictable, but I like the ride that we're going on. I don't think predictable means bad. I like the Civil War element of the bloodline. And to me, Sami Uso became an honorary family member during that time. Like the fondest memories I have of the bloodline were when Sami Zayn was involved and made it entertaining.
That was the best chapter. That was the best part of it for me too. And I think a lot of people were waiting to see when Sami Zayn would be included into this whole, War Games thing. That's what a lot of people are expecting. So this was definitely it right here. I find it funny though that Jimmy was like basically telling Jay like, oh yeah, you don't need to trust Sami. Don't trust Sami, right? But I'm like, okay, clearly Sami didn't go looking for Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa came to him. He's the one in a car. Logic tells me he rolled up, started talking to Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn wasn't just going to turn around and start walking the other way. So to me, it tells me that Solo Sikoa is trying to recruit it or trying to get into Sami Zayn's head. So this to me did not tell me, oh, Sami Zayn is not trustworthy just because he was talking to Solo Sikoa. That didn't make him untrustworthy to me because it was clear that Solo Sikoa approached him. He didn't approach Solo.
So, official for Crown Jewel, OG Bloodline versus New Bloodline Trios match made official by WWE on their socials.
So when you got seven matches now?
It looks like.
Oh my God. Are they going to swap out Bronson and Seth for that match? Is that what they're doing?
They do.
What?
I bet they do.
But why? Well, I guess I do know why. Probably the prince was like, we definitely need Roman Reigns and the bloodline here.
Yeah.
Even though we were already waiting to see that match until War Games and whatever. That's what I'm assuming.
Some more unfortunate news. El Phantasmo will take an indefinite leave from New Japan due to medical reasons. Man, this sucks. Before we wrap up, a thing that I am very interested in, all this, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens and his reaction to all this is what I'm excited to see. Because he as a heel will feel justified in a lot of things. Will says, Sammy joining back with the bloodline, gonna make Kevin Owens mad. That story will be great. Oh, I can't wait for it. You're reading my mind, Will. You were reading my mind, my friend. Get in your little thumbs ups, guys. We would appreciate it. Check out my interview with Bronson Reed. But most importantly, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I will be here on Saturday with Andrew Baydala, who will be doing the post show with me. If you haven't checked out his stuff, he does a lot of great stuff, especially on Twitter as well. But Denise, tell the people what you got.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. Right there. A million streams coming up pretty much every single day on the channel. Two interviews coming this week. A lot happening there. Of course, Instagram, TikTok, all the apps. Just search my name up, Denise Salcedo.
Guys, until next time, we are out.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows a resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.